Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. This is the month of Kartik, also known as the month of Damodar. You see over in the corner the diorama depicting the incident which took place 5,000 years ago. Keep in mind, this is not a fable. This is not some story. It is his story. It is fact. It's a historical event. We don't waste our time with mythology. That's for less intelligent people. We are intelligent people. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that those who partake of this chanting, as you all did for 1.5 hour, you are called Sumedasa, genius. Very, very intelligent. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's an opposite word used to describe people who don't worship Krishna. Opa Medasa, brain substance less. But you are very, very intelligent. Why? Because the Bhagavatam says you chant this holy name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. This pastime, Damodar, is described in the 10th canto by Shukadeva Goswami. He is narrating the Leela of Krishna in the 10th canto. And in chapter, it begins even before Krishna's appearance, setting the scene. And in chapter 9, this pastime takes place. By my study, direct evidence, Krishna was at least more than 1 year old and less than 5. I have not yet found authoritative documentation which says exactly at what age he was, but between 1 and 5. So, at the end of describing the entire pastime, Shukadeva Goswami gives his purport of what he wants us to take from this episode, because these dramatic performances of Krishna, which we call Leela, they are meant to enliven us, enthuse us, but also we are supposed to learn something, either a moral instruction or high philosophy. So Shukadeva Goswami, when he finishes this pastime, in 3 verses, he tells us some very, very high philosophical points on the science of God. I love that term. Science of God. Undoubtedly in the... Oh, we have 2 doctors over here. Husband and wife, doctor team. So they know lots of medical science, I'm sure. We have lots of other people that know so many sciences. But when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the science of God. Godology. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. In the very beginning, the author of the book, Shukadeva Goswami's father, Vyasadev, says, Nigama Kalpataror Galitang Phalam. When you read this Bhagavatam, you are actually drinking pibbata. The word is used, pibbata. You are drinking, but not here. Here. Because the Bhagavatam is also highly poetic. So you drink through your ear amrita. And this nectar, amrita, deathless nectar, that which makes you deathless. No offense, doctors, but do you have anything to someone? Can I come and say, make me deathless? Do you have? No. No offense. But Vyasadeva has gotten amrita for you. And if you drink deeply this Srimad Bhagavatam, you can become immortal. As our Prabhupada used to always say, chant 16 rounds, follow the 4 regulatory principles, and you will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. That's what he said. I believe him. That's why I joined this movement. I joined this movement because I believed him. I saw him. I heard him. Every day for the past 40 years, I read him. That's why I'm here. That's why I do what I do. It's all because of him. So this Bhagavatam is meant to be drunk through the ears. Therefore, turn off your cell phones. We don't want to be disturbed, sidetracked. We want to have, and later in chapter 3, Suta Goswami, who's narrating to the sages of Naimisharanya what he heard from Shukadev, he says, why did I learn this so good? Because I had rapt attention. That's the key to success. Rapt attention. I will try my... I am the captain of the ship today, and we're going to steer our boat back home, back to Godhead. Are you ready to come with me? All right, very good. Hopefully we'll have nice winds and not too rocky waves. So there's 3 verses Shukadev gives. Here's the first one. And I like to chant the Sanskrit because the Sanskrit is purifying besides its Bhagavatam. So you get more juice. Evaṃ sadarśita hyaṅga harinā vṛtya vasyata sva veśanepai kṛṣṇena yasyedaṃ seśvaraṃ vaśe. So you all heard that word, kṛṣṇena, with Krishna, by Krishna. And then there's also another nice word, vṛtya vasyata. So let's hear the translation. Prabhupada translates, O Maharaj Parikshit, because that's who Shukadev is narrating. Just like you're sitting here, maybe you'll be sitting half hour, 40 minutes. Don't worry, I'm not going to go on for 6 hours. I'm just going to have you sit for 40 minutes. All right? But Parikshit was sitting 7 days, 7 nights, no drinking, no eating, no sleeping. Why? Because he was given the text message. You have 7 days to live. He was very fortunate. We don't know how much long, right? I could die over the next... Right? Can anybody... Again, the doctors. Can you guarantee me that I will live so many days? These are very smart doctors. They know. But Parikshit was told, you have 7 days. So he decided, okay, these 7 days, no eating, no drinking, no sleeping, I'm just going to drink whatever Shukadeva Goswami tells me. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is something we learn in Bhagavad Gita more than once. Several times, Krishna says the same thing. I am the Supreme. There's no one superior to me. Okay? So, Shukadeva is saying yes. And this is the 10th canto. Already in 9 cantos, he has made this point from every angle of vision. In 9 cantos, Shukadeva has said the same thing. Krishna is God. He is the Supreme. And everyone else is his vṛtya, servant. In 9 cantos, in all the episodes In all the philosophy and incidents, the conclusion has still been Krishna is supreme. So this is really not nothing new. He's just confirming, affirming. But here is an interesting point. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. So, if somebody is the supreme controller, that means everyone is under his control, like a boss in a big, big company. I worked for 7 years here in Westwood. I had a boss who had a boss, right? Anyone who's worked in an office, you know what I'm talking about, right? There's a boss, a vice president, right? So, Krishna is the boss of all bosses. His Adi boss. Next week, whoever is sitting here, will talk about the pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. In that episode, Indra, the king of heaven, learns who is the boss. Because he thought, who is this child, Krishna? He's an over-talkative child. Ah, but he learned. Because Indra tried to decimate Vrindavan with rain for 7 days and seven nights. Krishna said, ha. As Prabhupada, we heard yesterday, Prabhupada said that Krishna said to Indra, Indra, what you're doing is the business of my little pinky. Effortlessly, Krishna raised the Govardhan Hill as an umbrella. All the residents of Vrindavan came underneath. They were saved by Krishna. And all Krishna had to do was effortlessly lift Govardhan Hill. So after this, Indra realized that he was playing with fire. I have one song. Don't play with Maya because you are playing with fire. Yes, that's what Maya is. Maya tempts you. Maya allures you. Maya tries, come, try to enjoy. Smack. You get burnt. When you play with Maya, you get burnt. We even have an expression in ISKCON. Prabhu, I'm fried. Prabhu, I'm fried. Yes. Fried means you are dallying with this material energy, trying to lord it over, enjoy, possess. You cannot. So, God is the supreme controller. But here Shukadeva is saying, the supreme controller wants to come under the control of his loving devotees. Where do you see that in the workplace? The boss is going to say, please, chastise me. Please, tell me what, right? Your boss never says that. The boss doesn't even ask you for your opinion. Here, Krishna, according to Shukadeva, so look at this diorama, if you will. There is God on the right. He's appearing as a young child. He's still God. He has all the powers. He has all the potencies. It's not that he's not. He's still the full-fledged God, the same God that later on will show Arjuna the universal form. Later on, that same God will dance the Rasa dance, live so many things. But for now, this is how he appears. But he's still almighty, all-powerful. And his mother is about to punish him. Because he was naughty. He did mischief. God also does mischief. Our conception of God is very complete. Our understanding of God takes into consideration every conceivable thing you could. No, it's inconceivable. The word used, achintya. This Krishna Leela is inconceivable. So, Mother Yashoda, even though Krishna is God, she doesn't know that. She's in a kind of spiritual illusion. She's covered over. And although Krishna is God, she just thinks and she just sees, this is my naughty son who is very restless, who I have to control for his own good. Yashoda was worried. Maybe some of the elder people in India, you know what I'm talking about. I went to a Catholic school. I also got the stick once. Once I got it. Not that I was a rascal. Once I got the stick. And in high school I didn't get the stick, but I got shaken up by the teacher because I was nonsense. So Yashoda showed the stick, but then Krishna was shaking. Krishna was crying. After all, he has to act the role properly. So he's acting. So he has to cry. But actually, he is afraid of his mother. He wants to experience this. He's tired of being God. Oh, God, and everybody is... And he has to stand there as God. No. He's enjoying this. He's taking a vacation. He's enjoying. And he's enjoying this. Stealing the butter. Feeding it to the monkeys. Creating a disturbance. Breaking the pot. This is all the things he did. In one afternoon. Created a big mess. He stepped in the butter and yogurt. That's how Yashoda found him. She saw the footprints because Krishna's feet have distinctive marks. So when he stepped in the butter of yogurt, it was easy. She just had to follow the footprints. And there he was on top of the wooden cart. And he was looking this way and that way because he knew he was nonsense. And he knew that his mother was going to come very soon to punish him. And he was giving the butter and yogurt to the monkeys. Then she came with the stick. He jumped down. He ran. Right? If somebody's coming with you with a stick, you're going to, yes, mother, please. No. You run. So eventually she caught him. Here's the scene. Now she sees that he's crying. He's trembling. So she thinks, no, I cannot be too harsh in my punishment. Yashoda thinks if I'm too harsh, it will have some negative psychological effect and the child will not grow up properly. So she says she threw the stick away. But she said, he's so restless. So let me tie him up, calm him down. Like there's an expression now, time out, right? You with the children, when they get so take a time out. Go to your room, time out. Because they're so restless, especially boys. Right? You know. Boys are trouble. Girls are nice. Boys are trouble. So, just ask my mother, God rest her soul. She had four boys, no girls. We drove her insane. So, Yashoda throws away the stick. Now she has to tie him up. For his own good. So she ties him up to the wooden grinding mortar, and when she's trying to make the final note, it's short by two fingers. Bring more rope, come. Bring more rope. She adds more rope. Hey, it's still two fingers too short. Come on, bring more rope. She adds more rope, more rope. Each time, though, it's still two fingers too short. Neighbors are coming. They're smiling. Because they can see something's happening. No matter how much rope they add, it's still two fingers too short. Krishna was trying to teach something here. You could have brought all the rope in the universe. It still would have been two fingers too short. Because Krishna is teaching in that scene, you cannot tie me up. unless I allow you, unless I agree, because I'm still the supreme controller. So by this time, Yashoda is like exhausted. The flower in her hair has come out. She's put so much energy into trying to die. Now she's just like... So when Krishna sees this, he goes, okay, now you can tie me up. He's had his fun. He's taught her. So then he agrees to be tied up. But Shukadeva's pointing out, yes, why is he allowing himself to be tied up? Because of Yashoda's love for him. And it's significant that it's a rope. In Sanskrit, there is this word, guna. Guna means quality. But guna also means rope. So, there are three gunas, or three ropes. Goodness, passion, ignorance. So, what was Krishna saying? You're in the mode of goodness? You can't tie me up. What to speak? You're in the mode of passion or ignorance? Forget about it. You're not going to tie up Krishna. He cannot be tied up by any ropes. In the song that we will sing at 6:30, therefore the phrase, bhakti baddham. Can we all say? He can be tied up, baddham, but that beautiful word, bhakti. Everyone say. That's such a beautiful word. What is bhakti? Bhakti means the science of loving devotion to God. To God. That's significant. Bhakti is for God. And it's loving service. You hear about Krishna. I think you're doing that now. You chant about Krishna. You remember Krishna. You worship Krishna. Or in Yashoda's case, tie up Krishna. Not that we can't. She can. And that's coming up later on in the verses to come. So, Krishna enjoys coming under the control or being tied up, but only by those persons who have unalloyed love. Not just love. Unalloyed. When they make metals, they sometimes add to it. It becomes an alloy. That means it's not pure. But unalloyed means pure. That's like, there is this thing that I love. Ghee. Ghee is best when it is pure. Every month, my wife, she buys all this butter, and then for hours it is slowly cooking. She'll put in all these big bricks of butter, fills up the whole pot. And as it's burning, as it's cooking down, there's this beautiful aroma that fills up the whole apartment. What a beautiful smell. Ghee. And then you skim off the impurities, and it takes many, many, many hours. Then finally you've got the liquid gold. Ghee. And you use that just a little in your cooking for Krishna. So nice. My wife, I've been married to her for 33 years. She has never cooked food for me other than ghee and butter. Praise the Lord. That's why I'm so handsome. And fat too, but the point is that ghee has to be shuddh, pure ghee. those in India. When I first went to India, 1975, the devotees told me, you have to go here and buy something. Don't get dalda. You all know, Indian people, dalda. I said, what is dalda? Never mind, just make sure that you get pure ghee. Because if you're not careful, they'll cheat you. Same way with the milk. The temple said, you go, and when you bring the milk container, you go with the farmer. And see that you're getting the real milk. Otherwise, they will do what? That's right. So they said, don't wait. You go with the guy and make sure you're getting their straight milk. You learn many, many things when you go to India. Going to India is better than any college education. Just go to India, couple of months, you come out PhD. You learn so many amazing things. Am I right? You learn so many. What? You learn everything. You learn every ology there is. Spending time. So, lesson number one from Shukadev. Krishna will only agree, because one of Krishna's names, Ajita, everybody say. He's unconquerable. You read this 10th canto, 90 chapters. Right from the beginning, the demons are coming, starting with Putana. He's 1 month old. Demon after demon after... The pastimes with the devotees are very little. Mostly this Bhagavatam 10th canto, Krishna's defeating some demon. But what was the score at the end? Krishna, undefeated, perfect season. Demons, finished. So he's unconquerable. But if you have love, devotion, attachment for Krishna, then he may agree to come under your control as Yashoda will. Let's go to verse number 2. Nemang virincho nabhavo na sharir apyanga sangshraya prasadang lebire gopi yattat papa vimuktidat. So the key word here, vimuktidat. Keep that. Don't lose that. That's an important word. So what does Shukadev say? Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. This is Shukadev's conclusion. Shukadev is saying, yes, Lord Brahma, he is the most intelligent individual in the whole universe. That's why he's got that post. Unlike modern day politicians, especially in one political party, which I'm not going to name, but we have one political party right now. They keep electing bozos, idiots. You know who I'm talking about. No, that's all right. We all know who it is. They lost the last election. They keep electing these people who are just anti-science, just like bozo. That's the word I use. Bozo the clown. Stupid. All right? Idiots. All right? So, unlike them, if you're going to become Lord Brahma, you have to be the most qualified. You have to be the most intelligent. Then you can be Lord Brahma. You have to have actual qualification. Not like our democracy where rig the election, don't let everybody vote, and just get him who you want in. Lord Brahma, you have to actually earn the post. So he is the most intelligent. Lord Shiva, everybody knows how Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. He is so powerful, right? But Shukadeva is saying, not Lord Brahma, not Lord Shiva. Now, He says, not even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And he says here, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord. Yes. Even elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, by the way, women, you know what the Bhagavatam says? The wife is the better half of the husband. Not bitter, better. It is said, there's a verse, Lord Brahma made the woman the better half. So, appreciate for the rest of your life your better half. There's a lecture I do once in a blue moon. Happy wife means happy life, but not here. That you'll have to wait for a very special occasion and only for a select group. But the point remains, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is the better half of Narayan. So, Shukadeva is saying, Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi cannot get such mercy as that received by Yashoda. That's why that word, vimuktidat. Mukti means liberation. So, Lord Shiva has a kind of liberation. The goddess of fortune is eternally liberated. She's always on the chest of Narayan. But Shukadeva is saying, She, Yashoda, has vimukti, special liberation. What is that liberation? That liberation is called prema bhakti. Not just bhakti, prema. Ecstatic love of God. And such that she doesn't even know it's God. She has this ecstatic love. It's more than, actually, we cannot understand it. You have to actually have it, then you can understand it. We can try to describe it. I can try to describe it. I can say I understand, but actually I can't. But there is this thing, prema bhakti, spontaneous, overwhelming, loving devotion. That, like the gopis, they also have this prema bhakti. The best, here's a good example. One time Narada was sent by Krishna. Oh, I have a headache. I need the dust of the feet of my devotees to remove the headache. So Narada went to some brahmanas. And Narada said, I have just come and Krishna has a headache and he needs the dust of your feet. The brahman said, Narada, go away. That is an offense. If we give the dust of our feet, we will go to hell. We don't believe you. Go away. Narada then went to the gopis. Narada said, Gopis, Krishna has a headache. Gopis, what? Krishna, what can we do? Narada said, Krishna wants the dust of your feet. The gopis said, take. How much you want? Take. And Narada said, but you'll go to hell. Gopis said, we don't care if we go to hell. We only care to take care of Krishna's headache. That is prema bhakti. No consideration of yourself. Prabhupada even said, you want to understand this prema bhakti? Mothers are the closest thing we have to get a glimpse. How many here have had children? So you know, mothers, will you not do anything for your child? Is there anything you will not do? Even at your expense, mothers? Am I right? All in favor, say Hari Bol. Yes. You'll do anything for your child. Why? Because you have that spontaneous love for your child. It never goes away. Even when you're 92 and they're 62, they're still your little baby. Am I right? Yes. Yes. So, you know, here's your baby son right here. Right? Am I speaking truth? So that is the closest thing we have to understand this prema bhakti. There's no check. There's another explanation. Those who've been to India, Gangotri, where the Ganges actually comes out, and it's rushing like anything. Right? It's so powerful. It'll knock you over. It's so powerful. So that Ganges, so Kunti prayed the same way, let my love for you, Krishna, be like the Ganges, which forever flows to the sea. So that prema bhakti, that love, that devotion for Krishna is so powerful. So, Shukadeva is saying, Yashoda has vimuktidat. She has prema bhakti, ecstatic love. Alright, final verse of today. Nayang sukapo bhagavan dehinang gopika sutta jnaninang chatma bhutanang yata bhakti matam iha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. So in this verse, because after this verse, Shukadev continues this lila, but the lila goes to the next phase. After Krishna is tied up to the wooden mortar, Yashoda goes back to do her housework. I love this. Even the mother of God has chores. Not that I'm the mother of God. All right. Serve me. Pedicure. Man. No. You're the mother of God. You have to clean. You have to make butter. You have work to do, even though you're the mother of God. No vacation. You're working. So, she's tied up Krishna, and she goes back to doing her housework. Krishna is tied up, and Krishna is thinking, my mother thinks that now I'm tied up, I won't do any more mischief. I am now going to do even more mischief. He looks out into the courtyard. He sees these two big trees. He knows. Oh, yes. Because, remember what I said? He's still God. He still knows everything, but he's playing. He knows, oh, those two trees were actually two sons of Kuvera. And they were nonsense people. They did big time nonsense. So Narada cursed them, and Narada wants me to deliver them. So I must do that, because Narada is my devotee, and I must keep Narada's prediction and wish come true. So he starts to crawl. And as he crawls, he pulls the wooden grinding mortar. And he's pulling, and the grinding mortar gets stuck between the two trees. Now he's a little child, but he has unlimited strength. In the song that we'll sing, 6:30, Ananta is one of the names. Ananta, unlimited. Everybody say Ananta. Ananta. Thank you. He is unlimited. So he crawls in between, pulls, the trees come crashing down. When the trees come crashing down, the two demigod sons of Kubera come out. And all this time, for many, many years, while they were in the trees, they had consciousness. And they were praying that they could become devotees. So when Krishna pulled down the trees, they offered nice prayers, prayers of devotion. And they specifically asked Krishna, please turn us into your devotees. And Krishna said, yes, you will now become my pure devotees. So that's the next episode. So just before that, ending up this particular part, the Damodar, he says, first of all, Krishna is known as the son of Mother Yashoda. He's known by many names. So he likes when he's addressed in terms of his relationships with his devotees. So when we say, Krishna, you are Yashoda Nandan, he enjoys that. Because he loves Yashoda, and he likes being addressed in that way. Yashoda Nandana, Braja Jana Ranjana. Lord Chaitanya says that in each and every name of God, there is great potency. So when we chant these prayers, these mantras, you are getting special blessings just by saying the sounds. So he's Yashodanandana, everyone say. Now, there are different kinds of persons. There's karmis, or fruitive workers, materialistic persons. There are gyanis, big mental speculators. There are yogis. There are tapasvis. They do severe penances and austerities. Krishna does not become influenced by karmis, gyanis, yogis, tapasvis. He's not interested. But if you become bhaktimata, if you become a devotee, now Krishna takes an interest in you. And it says here, what kind of devotee? Engaged in spontaneous loving service. We begin our bhakti by the regulative method, sadhana, vaidhi. When you take a spiritual master and you actually surrender, you are beginning what is called vaidhi bhakti. Rules and regulations which govern you from morning to night and even while you sleep. And it's day in and day out. It's like being in the army. You become under regulation. And if that is properly executed for a long period of time, little by little, imperceptibly, you come to this spontaneous stage. Spontaneous stage means you don't need anybody to tell you, you want to do it. Big difference. When you're being told you have to do it, no. But when something is spontaneous, nobody has to tell you, you want to do it. So that's how you can test how advanced you are. Do you have any spontaneous attraction for any devotional activity? Now for me, when did it start? Prasadam. I have spontaneous attraction for the 10th item of the... There's a 10th item in my list. Eatanam. Shravanam Kirtanam. Eatanam. How many people here like Krishna Prasad? Yes. Very good. After all, we're called the kitchen religion, by the way. And there was no prasadam I would not be in this movement. So, there are 9 processes: hearing, enchanting, remembering, praying, serving. If you find at some point that you have spontaneous attraction for one or more of those processes, you are doing really good. So maybe you like kirtan. And whenever there's a kirtan, you just run. That's a good sign. Me, I like to talk and sing and describe Krishna. I'll go anywhere in the world. I'll do whatever. If I can sit and sing and talk about Krishna, that's all I want to do the rest of my life. And because I followed my commandment, happy wife means happy life, I now have her full blessings. I can go anywhere in the world and preach. Thank you, my dear wife. I know she's watching right now, making sure that I'm not doing any nonsense. But maybe you like to hear, or maybe you like to worship, like Krishna praying. You have spontaneous, right? If there's an opportunity to worship, right? Right. So that's what we're aspiring for. That spontaneous stage. So that you automatically, naturally want to render some service to Krishna. And that is what attracts Krishna. And that is what is actually pleasing. I mentioned this yesterday. We had a very, very nice program at Krishna Prem's house. His annual Anakut. Next year, if you get it, if you hear about his program, don't miss it. It's the best program in the whole year. Am I right? Yes. So next year, if you hear about it, you must come. You'll be so happy. Everybody's invited. Yes. So, hear, chant, remember, worship, pray, and become more and more enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Everybody chant. We want to come to that stage of spontaneous loving, but it's a natural thing. It's natural. It will come by strictly following all the rules and regulations. You cannot jump to that platform. You start with strict principles as taught by the spiritual master. And little by little, gradually, that spontaneous devotion will arise. Vijay Prabhu, would you like to add anything, comment anything? Well, you're very welcome. Do you have anything to add? Any corrections? You're so kind, Vijay Prabhu. He has spontaneous attraction for distributing Prabhupada's books. That is his perfection. He's on his way back home, back to Godhead. May you be all successful. I was going to tell one little story. I told this yesterday. It's on this point. So, in 1975, in a Sunday feast lecture like this, in Atlanta, Prabhupada was speaking. And the Vyasa-san is in the back of the temple in Atlanta. And I was then a brahmachari, 25 years old. And I was up by the deities. So Prabhupada gave his lecture, and he asked for questions, so I thought, this is my chance. I may never get my chance. So I raised my hand. Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada, for some reason, he asked his secretary to repeat my question. So the sannyasi said, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada closed his eyes. He tilted his head and he spoke right into the microphone. When you love Krishna. So that is the instruction I have gotten from my spiritual master. To love Krishna. Yes? You were there too. And did I describe it correctly? Thank you. It's confirmed. So, let us all try our best each day to love Krishna more and more. Do we all agree with that? Yes. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Class is dismissed. You can now do your Eatanam. Jai.